We turn to Holy Scripture, to the first book of the Bible, the fifth chapter, and we read the first 24 verses. Genesis 5, the first 24 verses. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years. And he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. The text for this New Year's Eve sermon you can find in Genesis chapter 5, the passage which we have read together, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Over this text, you can write the following title: Enoch's Biography. Enoch's Biography. We will see four things. First, Enoch running from God. Enoch running from God by nature. Secondly, Enoch fleeing to God for mercy. Fleeing to God for mercy. Thirdly, Enoch walking with God by grace. Walking with God by grace. And fourthly, taken to God in glory. Taken to God in glory. Dear flock of Dundas, when we come to Genesis chapter 5, we come to a cemetery. A cemetery east of Eden. Don't you think it would be interesting on this evening to take a walk through this cemetery? After all, this is the cemetery of those who died at the beginning of history. And there is a lot to learn here. There lie the remains of many, the remains of Abel, After all, he was the first one to return to the dust, having been murdered by his brother Cain. There lie the remains of Adam, who did live much longer than his son, who lived 930 years. But also of Adam we read that he died. And Seth, he died. And many others. After all, that is the wages of sin. And therefore the refrain, and he died. And he died. And now when someone dies, it is possible to sum up a person's life with a few words. And that is what is done in the newspapers daily, on the obituary page. Very brief summaries are given, the person's birth, death, and a few things are said of the person. For really, you can sum up a person's life in just a few words. And you find such brief summaries of people also in the Bible. If you only listen to what is said of Cain in chapter 4. There we have a brief biography of Cain in verse 17, that he builded a city. Of Jubal, we read also in chapter 4, he invented music. Of Lamech, from the line of Cain, we read too, a brief biography, he took two wives. And we even hear him sing a song in his sinful pride. You see, you can sum up a person's life with only a few words. What would sum up your life? If a biography was written of your life, and it could be put into a few words, what would it say? What would others say of you? What would God say of you? For here, you see, we have a biography of Enoch written by God. And at the heart of this biography is this: and he walked with God. But that's not the only thing that we must say of Enoch. If we look carefully at his biography, we must say some other things too. And the first thing that we must say of Enoch is that he was running from God by nature. Now someone says, I don't see that in my Bible, that Enoch was running from God. I read Enoch walked with God. Yes, but look carefully with me at verses 21 and 22. There it says this: and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. We are told that he began to walk with God after he received his first child, Methuselah. For before that, then he did not walk with God. That means for 65 years, Enoch did not walk with God. And what was Enoch doing then for all that time? What was he doing before he received that firstborn, Methuselah, and began to walk with God? Well, if we don't walk with God, then we are walking from God. No, that's not how it was in the beginning. Before the fall, it was different. Then Adam and Eve, they walked with God in the cool of the day. Paradise, after all, was a place of fellowship with God. But that communion was broken. And when God came to meet Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, then Adam and Eve ran and fled. Just like a child who breaks a beautiful vase in the living room and then hears the footsteps of his father coming. And then the child runs and he tries to hide. Now that's what man does. That's what the scripture says man does. Psalm 58, he goes astray from the womb. Or as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 of our walk by nature, we walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. And another word for conversation would be among whom we all have had our walk. Is that not the story of man by nature? I mean, think for a moment of the many Bibles that have been translated also into our own language. Now, why is it that so many
do not have any use for the Bible. Maybe they have the Bible on the shelf, but for the most part it's kept shut. Why does he do that? He keeps the Bible shut because he's running from God. Why is it that so many people, also in our communities and lands, so many people don't go to church? Oh, I know they can have many different excuses. They can say, well, I'm so busy. Or they can say that the services are not entertaining enough. Or they can say that there's so much hypocrisy in the church. But the real reason why they don't come to church is because they're running from God. Someone says, but Enoch, he's from the line of Seth. He's from the godly line. He grew up, you could say, going to church. True, that, and that's also what we read in the last verse of chapter 4, that Seth had a son Enos, and then man began to call upon the name of the Lord. To put it simply, the last verse of chapter 4 is saying, then men began to go to church. Men began to have public worship services. They began to have family worship. The Word that God had given, it wasn't the full revelation as we have it in the 66 books, but they did have the Word of God to some extent, and the Word that they had heard from Adam, it was told, it was passed on, it was taught, and the promises of God, and what happened in the fall, and creation, and Enoch heard these things too as a young boy growing up, going to church. But what does man do, even in church? By nature, he can be there. He can even stay awake. But man does not seek God by nature. Oh, I know he can be in church and he can listen and he can be serious. And that's where we also need to be. Also, as an unconverted man, we're there to listen, to be serious, to discuss the Bible. And we can repeat some Bible knowledge and we can say some prayers and we can live a decent life. And all the while still be running from God. Is this what would sum up your life? That if this very night your life would be required of you, and the biography would be written by God, would it say this? He was running from me until today, when God took him out of this life. Is this maybe what would sum up this whole past year from January 1 to December 31? What would it be? You would summarize it. Young people, maybe you would say, well, it's been a busy year. And if I had to summarize my life, it was a busy time. Friday nights were busy. I had to go out. And Saturday nights, and I had to go see my friends, and I had to work hard and play hard and go out and busy. And that's how you can be. Running from God. Still be in church on the Lord's Day. I'm still running from God. Or older ones. Busy. Yeah, that's me, you say. And you have all these outings planned. And you may be engaged in many things. And they may even be acceptable things. And things that in themselves are good things. But it could be that all this while you're running from God. But it did not stay that way with Enoch. He did not stay running from God. For there came a time when he began to flee to God for mercy, our second point. How? Well, how this all happened is not told us. The Lord has many different ways whereby he makes a sinner flee to him. The Holy Spirit began to work in the heart of Enoch, and Enoch began to see three things. First thing that he began to see was the goodness of the Lord. For he began to walk with God in the year in which God gave him a child. And consider that. After all that Enoch had done, after all his sin, after all the goodness of the Lord, and yet Enoch had continued to run from God, and now the Lord gives him a child. Has that never struck you, parents? Why does the Lord give you a child? It's a free gift to you from him. It's to make you see his goodness. And also to make you feel something of the seriousness of this life. And the weight of a soul. For a soul has been entrusted to you. And it will grow up in this fallen world. And Enoch also began to realize that he would be responsible for this little boy, Methuselah. He began to see the goodness of the Lord. And it humbled him. The second thing he saw is he began to see the judgment of the Lord. God entered into Enoch's thoughts. And Enoch saw that an end was coming. The judgment of God was coming. And it could not be escaped. Now, why do I say this? Well, because of the name he gave to his boy. He gave the name Methuselah. What does Methuselah mean? It means judgment will be sent. A.W. Pink says it means when this one dies, the end will come. And it was in the year of the flood that Methuselah did die. Judgment. And judgment began to be a theme in Enoch's preaching too, for after he was converted, he became a preacher. Jude tells us that. And we have a very short sermon of Enoch in the Bible. In Jude, verses 14 to 16. And Enoch, it says, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The Lord is coming to judge the ungodly, and he uses that word ungodly four times in his very short sermon recorded for us. Judgment, that was something that Enoch became convinced of. God is not only my maker, but God is also my judge. But the theme of judgment by itself does not drive a sinner out to God, does it? The theme of judgment only drives a sinner further from God. He begins to run all the harder if he's able. And so we must also say a third thing that Enoch began to see. The third thing is something of the mercy of the Lord. Something of the mercy of the Lord. Have you come to see it? As in all these sermons these past year, have you come to see something of the goodness of the Lord? Something of the judgment of the Lord? Also something of the mercy of the Lord? You see, God put love in Enoch's heart. In the words of Romans 5, he shed abroad his love into his heart, so that he came to miss God. He began to long for reconciliation with God, and he wanted God, and he wanted to return to God, but could Enoch go back to God? May the sinner return to God. And then you see that Enoch has been taught that the Lord is holy and the Lord is just, but he has also been taught that the Lord is merciful. For that's also a lesson which the Lord wants to teach the sinner. And Enoch became more and more convinced of this Well, for what reasons? Well, let me suggest some reasons why he came to see it. After all, the Lord was giving him time to repent. That's mercy of the Lord when he gives you a few years to live, to repent. But Enoch also heard of how God sought out Adam and Eve after the fall into sin. God in mercy came down to seek out Adam, Eve, after their great rebellion. And Enoch also heard more of mercy of the Lord, for he heard that promise that God gave in Genesis 3 verse 15, that God will put enmity between the serpent and the woman and between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed. God would break the relationship of friendship with the devil in order and bring about friendship with God. That's what God promised. And Enoch heard that promise. And that was a promise of mercy, friends. And Enoch heard more of the mercy of God, for he heard of that first sacrifice that God made. And I think Enoch heard more. He heard, after all, he was alive when Adam was still alive. And what do you think Adam told Enoch, boys and girls? Don't you think that Enoch heard from the mouth of Adam how merciful God is? Maybe Adam said to Enoch, "Enoch, if God can be merciful to me, he can be merciful to you." But however it was, Enoch was more convinced and more convinced that he could not stay away from the Lord, but began to flee to the Lord with the burden of his sin, and the burden now also of this child that has been given to him, with the burden of his own soul, and with the confession upon his lips, he fled to the Lord, clinging to the word of the Lord, and he found mercy with the Lord. Have you come to flee to him? Do you know of going on your knees? Mindful judgment is coming. Knowing the mercy of the Lord and knowing that you need Him, that you've gone on your knees, seeking to find mercy with the Lord. Has there come love to the Savior? So that you say, "I don't want to do without Him." What a blessed thing that would be, wouldn't it? If that's what took place in 2008 in your life. And the Lord still gives sinners time to run this very night for mercy. Now Enoch, having fled to God, also began to walk with God by grace. That's our third point. We read, "And Enoch walked with God." Now what does this mean? Well, this expression is used four times in the Bible. When it speaks of Enoch, then it actually is mentioned two times. But there in Genesis 5, it speaks of Enoch walking with God. The second of whom it speaks is in the next chapter, Genesis 6, verse 9, of Noah walking with God. A third time is Micah 6, verse 8. "What doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" And the fourth time is Malachi 2, verse 6, speaking of Levi, who walked with God. But now, what is it to walk with God? Let me say six things of what it is to walk with God. First of all, to walk with God is a communing walk. A communing walk. It doesn't say that Enoch simply thought about God, or that he worshipped God, or that he talked about God, though he did all those. But it says he walked with God. And you get the picture, don't you? Just like maybe you've seen it. Two close friends walking side by side, getting to know each other, speaking with one another, enjoying one another's company. Now, that's how it was with Enoch. He wanted to walk with the Lord, to know the Lord more, to love the Lord. There was an intimate communion that he enjoyed with the Lord in a remarkable and unusual way. But to that end, to commune with the Lord, he walked with the Lord. It was a communing walk. Secondly, it was a continuing walk. A continuing walk. For the Holy Spirit, when he has Moses write this down in Holy Scripture, he uses the word walk. It doesn't say sprint or run. You know that you can do that for a short distance, but you cannot run for long. You cannot sprint for long. Oh, I know to run and to sprint can look impressive, but it doesn't last long. For the long haul, you need to walk. And that's what Enoch did. There was a continuing in his walking with God. He had been enjoying this every day for 300 years. And this was no casual stroll. And Enoch did not fall behind. And he didn't walk in spurts. No, he walked with God continually. There was a perseverance here that the Lord gave. So a continuing walk. Thirdly, it was a cheering walk. A cheering walk. Don't you think that this would have been to the happiness of Enoch? For where could Enoch find his happiness? Not in the world. Oh, at one time he had sought for his happiness outside of God. But he realized he could not find it in the world. No, he began to seek it in the Lord. And those who find it in the Lord, they are a happy people. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. He walked with God. And the name for God in the Hebrew is Elohim. The God of might and the God of strength. And you see, Enoch, he was a weak man. He was a frail man. And as he would walk with God, he met with opposition. After all, I said already, he was a prophet. He was a preacher. But he preached a message that people did not want to hear. Of the God of judgment. Of the wickedness of sin. Who wanted to listen to Enoch's sermons? And all they that will live godly in this world shall suffer persecution. But Enoch continued walking with God. God was his strength. He did not sink under the weights of discouragement. No, he was cheered in his walk. After all, Psalm 91 verse 1 says it right. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Lord, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And there by the Lord is where the soul is cheered. It was a cheering walk. Fourthly, it was a consenting walk. A consenting walk. You know, when people are at odds with one another, they don't walk together. Enemies don't walk together. And that's the truth also that Amos 3 verse 3 teaches us. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And so that meant that Enoch agreed with God. And he agreed with the way that God would have him walk. You know, sometimes a child can be disagreeable. Maybe when you're going for a walk or when you want your child to go and do certain thing, then the child may say, I don't want to go that way. I'm going another way. I'm going to do my own thing. A child can be like that. But not Enoch. I don't say that Enoch never had his questions. Enoch may have said, Lord, this way is a hard way. And it's steep. And I'm getting tired, Lord. Can't we go another way? But the Lord would say to Enoch, Enoch, I want you to go this way. this hard way? Yes, I know, but I want you to go this way. This is the way that I have set out for you and me to walk together. It was a consenting walk. Fifthly, it was a consecrated walk. A consecrated walk. He was consecrated to the Lord, friends. He broke with sin. He broke with the world. You see, it doesn't say he walked with the worldly companions. It doesn't say that he walked with the children of Cain. It could have said that. No, he had come to rebuke the children of Cain, the children of the world. You see, he desired God. He desired to be devoted to God, to walk in his ways. And then he didn't want any part of the world. And is that maybe why you have not walked with God this past year? You've wanted a compromised walk. That won't work. It must be a consecrated walk. So, it was a communing walk. A continuing walk. A cheering walk. A consenting walk. A consecrated walk. And lastly, it was a confiding walk. You know what Enoch did, boys and girls? He laid bare his heart to God. Is that not what you do with a friend? You tell your friend, what are your troubles? Your difficulties. And you know, there are times when you can't even bear your heart to a friend. But then you can still bear your heart to the Lord. And don't you think that's what Enoch did? That he confided in the Lord when his way was not so easy. And when he faced temptations. And when he had cares and sickness and trial and fears. And yes, when he fell into sin. Enoch fell into sin. And then he would make it known to the Lord. And He wouldn't go running anymore. He laid it bare to the Lord. He gave it over. After all, this was a walk of faith, you see. And faith means that you entrust your case. You entrust your heart into the hands of the Lord. Now that's a believer. One who has fellowship with the Lord. He walks with God. Friends, do you know this walk with God? You say, I pray in the morning and I pray at night. And that's important, isn't it? We need to seek the Lord in the morning when we wake up. And we need to bend our knees in the night. But I didn't ask that. My question is not whether you have set times of prayer, but my question is that when you get up from your knees in the morning, do you then walk with God in the day? Someone says, Enoch, he could do that in those days. After all, those were the good old days, and it must have been easier to serve the Lord in his days. Do you think so? The world of Enoch's days was an ungodly world. It was not the good old days. Wickedness was abounding. It was increasing. And it was a world of great wickedness. Days like our days, Enoch knew about. And that's why the Lord was going to send the flood after all, because of the wickedness in those days. Still, he walked with God in those days. Someone says, but for Enoch at least, life was simple. He did not know the kind of life that we have and how busy things can be, and we have so many distractions and we get pulled in one direction and we have all the cares of the family and all the difficulties. Surely Enoch did not know that. Do you really think so? We read, "And he begat sons and daughters." And then I think that he had quite a few children. And they had a busy family life. And that he had to provide for them. And he did not have all the conveniences that we have in our homes and in our work. And then he had to teach his children. He had to guide his children. And his children were just as sinful as your children and my children. They were fallen sons and daughters of Adam. And on top of this, he was a preacher. And he faced opposition. And he had his responsibilities and he had his worries. Still, he walked with God. Do you walk with God? Do we seek Him in the morning and throughout the day? And mothers, in the midst of a busy day, and there you have so much work to do in your home maybe, do you then seek the Lord? Do you tell Him all your troubles? Do you tell Him all your needs? Do you turn to Him and ask for help and grace? Help me, O Lord. Let me know Thou art near. Shall I put it in the words of the New Testament, what this looks like? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Acts 4. The story is told of an old godly preacher. And one Monday morning, this godly preacher was absent from the minister's meeting. And because he was absent, the other ministers, they discussed him. And they were interested in how long did this minister pray. And so these ministers agreed among one another that one of them would slip into this godly minister's bedroom, hide under his bed while this godly minister was eating his dinner. And he was to find out how long this minister prayed. Well, while it was dinner, this one went and found the bedroom and hid under the bed. And after dinner, this godly minister, he came up. It was around 7 o'clock, and he spent some time translating the scriptures. And at 10 o'clock he turned off the oil lamp and lit a candle and made himself ready for bed. And the man under the bed thought, now he is going to pray. But he was surprised when the minister blew out the candle and crawled right into bed. As if he was going to pray in bed. And then he pulled the quilt over his shoulders and then the man under the bed heard this godly minister say, "Good night, Jesus. I'll be seeing thee in the morning." You see, he had walked and talked with the Lord all day. Ah, how I long to live like that. You too? Boys and girls, do you want to live like that? It's the best life. Shall we not seek it? Shall we not seek His grace? For that's what we need, to walk with the Lord by grace. And then I come to my fourth thought, taken to God in glory. Ah, Enoch, he did not live to a very high age, at least compared to others who lived at his time, who lived to 900 years plus. Enoch lived only 365 years. And that is like someone in our day living to 35 years, while others lived to be 80 or 90. So Enoch was taken out of this life at a very young time. But for Enoch, it was gain. And now I said, let's go for a walk through the graveyard there to the east of Eden. And now let's see if we can find Enoch's gravestone. But when we walk through that graveyard, then we see that there's a gravestone missing. Enoch's gravestone. What happened? Moses, when he writes what he writes, he simply puts, he was not, for God took him. He did not die. The writer to the Hebrews, when he records this in Hebrews 11, he writes that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He did not die. That meant that there was no body to bury. His body was not found. That's also what the writer to the Hebrews tells us, that he was not found. His body was not found. And Luther, in his commentary, imagines that a manhunt was launched to try and find Enoch's, or at least his body. And his family sought for him, wondered what had become of their father, what had become of the preacher of righteousness, but they didn't find him. What happened? God took him. One writer put it this way, God picked him up body and soul and carry him over and put him on the other shore. Now in Sunday school, on one occasion, this story of Enoch was the lesson for the class. And after the lesson, the teacher told the children to write down the story of Enoch and put it in their own words. And then they had to bring it to the teacher the next week. One of the children wrote it in a childlike way and wrote this. God and Enoch were good friends. God often came to visit Enoch, and they prayed together. One beautiful morning the Lord said, my friend, let's go for a little walk. And Enoch said, yes, my Lord, I will come. See you again, he said to his wife and children as he closed the door. God and Enoch had a lot to talk about. So Enoch walked with God. They saw the birds and the flowers and some of the she-goats with their little ones until all of a sudden Enoch was alarmed and said, my Lord, we have walked too far. There is thy house. How will I make my way back? But the Lord said, well, Enoch, there is no need to go back. I've brought you this far because I want to take you to my house. And you must stay with me. And that's from a child's point of view. But that brings to life something, what is written here. And you see, for Enoch it was gain. Enoch did not have to even pass through the door of death. And there was one other person who did not have to pass through the door of death. Elijah, taken up into a chariot into heaven. And you know that there will be others who will experience something of this too. Those who are alive at the second coming of Christ. Paul tells us, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17, that we which are alive on that day then, we which are alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. But for everyone else, also God's people, they have to go through the door of death. And their soul, well, their soul will immediately be taken unto Christ, their head. Lord's Day 22 tells us that too. But then there will come also another day, the day of the resurrection, and their body will be raised from the dust and reunited to their souls. And then in body and soul, they will be forever with the Lord in the new heaven and the new earth. Is that your future? We're coming now to the end of Enoch's biography. Is this your end? Will this be your end? And so to be with the Lord forever. How is it possible for you and for me? Well, then you see that someone greater than Enoch had to come. Needed to be born. Needed to live. Oh, needed to walk with God day by day. And then there was that one day that he sought to walk with God. But God would not walk with him. But would leave him. And abandon him on the cross of Golgotha. And there the Lord Jesus had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death all alone. So that he can bring many sons to glory. And then you know he was raised from the dead. And he ascended into heaven, soul and body. And he is now at the Father's right hand as the sympathizing high priest. And will that be the place to which he takes you? And then I see someone who doesn't see it anymore. Maybe a very simple believer, maybe. I'm stumbling, I'm falling. And I hear, as it were, through Enoch, I hear it, Enoch saying it from his biography. Press on. Walk with God. Take lively steps. Press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Ah, then I hear someone else say, not Enoch now, Asaph. I hear him say something else, yet in my care, my grief, my pain, I ever, Lord, with Thee remain. My hand is held by Thine forever, and held by love that faileth never. On all Thy wise, on all my ways Thy wise decree, through gloomy vale, windswiftly, will ever guide my faltering feet, till we at last in glory meet. Will that be your end? Amen.